The best old-time radio from people you trust. The Radio Nostalgia Network, where the oldies are still young.
It's Friday on Radio Memories, and that's when we enter an alternate dimension. Science Fiction Friday.
Enemy craft erupted into fireballs, throwing burning men into the water.
The landing boats are putting troops ashore.
Give me a gun!
It'll be suicide to stand and fight.
Aim's right, David. Stay down!
Launches beach themselves, allowing enemy fighters to leap out onto dry land. They storm toward the compound, hurling grenades into dugouts and killing anyone that stood in their way. It was clear to see that we'd soon be overrun. Our defeat seemed inevitable. Then, from speakers mounted on our huts, music blared.
That's our signal to bug out. David, get into the jumbo.
One of the blind, a silver-haired woman who'd lost her sight 30 years ago, stumbled from a burning hut. She clutched a kitten to her chest.
What's happening? What are they doing?
Building banner attacking us.
David, get that lady into the vehicle. We're leaving.
What can you see?
I see the fires of hell, madam. That's what I see. The fires of hell. Now, excuse me for being physical.
Oh. Yeah.
I pushed her, still holding the kitten, into the back of the machine. A shell hit another jumbo nearby. It erupted into a mass of fire. There were no survivors. A submachine gun lay on the ground beside the corpse of one of Sam's men. Grabbing the weapon, I aimed at the swarming enemy. Then...
David, get your cockles into this thing. We're going.
David!
Wait!
Wait any longer and we're going to be dead.
We've another passenger. Jasmine, get over here.
Thank God. I thought I was going to be left behind.
Jump in!
The woman's gaze locked onto mine. Dark, intense... A bullet had found her. She crumpled to the floor, her beautiful hair turning sodden crimson. After that, I sat in the cabin as the machine powered toward the fence. An enemy soldier aimed a bazooka directly at us. I reached out, pressed the red button on the joystick. Yet all I could think about was Jasmine.
Hold on tight. I'm gonna punch through the fence. She got, praise be, this old tank's bulletproof. Here goes.
What seemed at first a chaotic retreat became a well-ordered withdrawal. The jumbos split up, and each drove towards a designated section of Triffid-proof fence. Vehicle after vehicle crashed through. Triffids immediately began lurching through the shattered barrier drawn into the compound by the sounds of the music, the battle, and the screams of the dying.
Well, this is where we leave the job of defense to the big green guys. Phil and Ben are going to be too busy tackling the Triffids to come running after us.
Oh, we live to fight another day.
Yes. Some of us. Nightfall saw the surviving jumbos parked in a circle, nose to tail. At least we'd be safe from the Triffids inside those machines. We were a good 10 miles from our compound, which would either now be in the hands of our human foe, or awash with Triffids. Believe me, those hours spent cooped up inside the cabins were melancholy. Most of us had lost friends in the battle. Sam went from vehicle to vehicle to make a grim tally. 28 wounded. 40 missing. Inevitably, these would be either prisoners of war now, or dead. The following morning, 103 survivors returned to the site of the battle.
The camp's a mess. But we'll clear up. Start over.
Sam, your plan worked. Smashing down the fences and deliberately letting the Triffids in.
Sure. The irony is that we use the big green guys as allies. Once we quit the camp, Fielden's men wouldn't dally here with those things swarming in. David, are you okay, fella?
Life's a funny thing, isn't it? Jasmine told me she was going home to see her mother. You know? She'd made a necklace for her mother's birthday. She was so happy. And a few hours later, she was dead.
David, wait! Buddy!
I'm going to find Jasmine. She should be buried.
That big fence was a mess. I perspired inside my protective suit as I nailed fresh wire to the post. Sam's people had already dealt with the triffids inside the compound. However, those venomous plants outside paid close attention to me. Stingers lashed against the glass helmet. We were getting the camp back into shape and burying the dead. Earlier, Sam had shown me a blood-stained photograph.
It's a picture of me.
Found it on one of the raiders. It appears all of them had your photograph, David. Feeling wants you back, dead or alive.
I labored on, stringing wire, hammering. Meanwhile, triffids still merrily zapped away at my helmet with their stingers. I don't know when it happened, but I realized someone nearby was staring at me.
My God. Good afternoon.
Standing there amongst the triffids was a man of around 70. He had a quiver full of arrows slung across his back and carried a bow. He wasn't wearing any special clothing to protect him from the triffids. Not that it was needed.
Yes, I'm American Indian. Surely you didn't expect me to declare me scalpum white man, did you now?
We sat around a canteen table. Sam Dimes, Gabriel Deeds, myself, and the man who'd just walked through the triffids unscathed. After introducing ourselves to the Native American Indian, he smiled.
My name is Ryder Chi. I've seen you watching my tribe from afar.
I've tried to get closer to say hello, but you folks melt away before I get near.
We keep ourselves to ourselves.
But you're here now. Why?
I understand that there are wounded here.
What's that to you?
Would penicillin and morphine be of use to your wounded?
Why, thank you. That's very generous.
You have access to drugs?
In a small way. We manufacture penicillin and so on. You look at me strangely, gentlemen. Don't you associate pharmaceutical production with Native Americans? Before the blinding, I qualified as a doctor. Since the collapse of civilization, we have adapted well.
From what I've seen, you've prospered, too.
And there is something you are burning to ask me.
Yes, damn it. Your people are immune to triffid poison. But how in tarnation can you walk through legions of those devil plants? How?
There are significant biological differences between American Indians and Americans of European, Asian, and African descent. Look at me, gentlemen. Heavy-lidded eyes, broad face. Look deeper, and you find an absence of blood type B. Even the teeth of my kind are a different shape to those of your people. In short, Mother Nature brewed our blood differently to yours.
And that makes you immune to triffid venom?
We weren't initially. But for a long time, we made triffid part of our diet.
So gradual exposure to small amounts of triffid poison has rendered you immune?
Well, that and the singular constitution of our blood.
Ryder Chi was good to his word. His tribe delivered medical supplies. Those drugs would save lives. That night, I sat up in bed, suddenly wide awake. A thought blazed with all the power of biblical revelation. Christina. She ran among the triffids. I saw her. She's immune to their poison, too. But I'll be damned if she has 1 ounce of Native American blood in her veins.
David. Gabriel. This order's just been sent in code to us. Please listen carefully. It's important. From Central HQ, you are instructed to deliver Subject C to Central HQ by Monday the 21st. You must devote the highest priority to this objective and achieve success at all costs. Reinforcements, together with air transport, are being dispatched to you. Logistics and planning are a matter for your own initiative. Sincerely yours, etc., etc.
Subject C.
Christina Schofield.
These orders err on the side of brevity. What I'm ordered to do is spring Christina from New York and deliver to HQ in exactly 5 days.
Impossible. We don't know where Christina's being held, and New York has radar, anti-aircraft guns, and 10,000 troops.
Gabe, we're not being ordered to conquer the city. This would be a snatch job.
I say get her out. The sooner the better.
David's right. For Christina's sake and ours. Let's not forget the feeling we use Christina to produce babies that are immune to Trifid venom. Within 20 years, he will have an army that can roam wherever he pleases. For our community, this is life or death.
I hear you, buddy. What manpower do we have coming in?
3 boat planes. They can carry a squad of 30 Marines in all.
Boat planes? Do you have pilots?
David, you remain here.
Sam, I need
no.
to...
No. Stay here. If you fall into Fielding's hands, it'll... Let's not picture that, shall we?
I wanted to go back to New York. Yes, to help rescue Christina. But I had another reason, too. One that I intended keeping secret from Gabe and Sam. The 3 flying boats arrived. That's when the problems began.
Sam, one of your pilots can barely fly that boat plane. He nearly crashed the thing coming in.
And New York is protected by radar, searchlights, AK-AK guns. I mean, those big old machines will be sitting ducks.
Sam, how will you get the planes to New York without being detected and shot to bits?
We go in at night.
You'll order that inexperienced pilot who nearly crashed to fly in the dark.
My orders are clear.
That's murder, Sam. As good as. You'll be sending those men to certain death.
David's right.
They fly in low under the radar.
Flying at night without lights? Altimeters aren't accurate at low level. This will be a suicide mission.
We have families back at home in our settlements, David. We can't let Fielding succeed. He'll wipe us out.
Let me fly the lead plane. I'll guide the others in under the radar.
Well, you said altimeters don't work at low level.
Give me 2 powerful spotlights. I'll show you how I'll do it.
I got my own way in the end. I piloted the lead plane with the other 2 following my taillight. On board were Marines and a large cargo of dynamite. Flying to New York should be easy. The hard part came when we had to fly in absolute darkness below radar cover. It was essential that Fielding's troops didn't know that 3 planes would be landing just offshore from the city. Secrecy was vital.
Oh my... That's a long way down.
Hey, Gabe. You see all those Trifids in the ruins of that town? Millions of the blessed things. And not a human being in sight.
Man, shouldn't you watch where you're flying this casket?
Look. No hands.
Oh, my.
I switched on the autopilot. Don't worry.
Everyone's fine in the back. Mind if I join you up front? I bring apple pie and coffee.
Sure. Grab a seat.
Say, David... How will those spotlights tell us when we're flying low enough?
I fix one to the tip of each wing. The light beams will shine down at a precise angle. I've also fixed mirrors to the wing struts of all 3 planes. The pilot will see 2 spots of light shining on the sea as they descend. When the spots of light converge, that's when the aircraft is traveling at precisely 100 feet above the water. At that height, the plane will be invisible to radar.
That's simple, huh?
What I didn't reveal was that when night fell, I'd fly along the course of the Hudson River. High ground at either side would guarantee that we would avoid radar detection. The other 2 planes would follow in single file. This would be far from easy. Fly too low, I'd make a heck of a splash. Too much to port or to starboard, and we'd make not so pretty fireballs on the sides of the valley.
That glow up ahead. The lights in New York, aren't they?
No blackout. Good. That means they don't know we're coming.
Okay. We're going in.
Moonlight sent ghostly shimmers across the water. Cars surged through the metropolis that never sleeps. This was it. Throttling back the engines, I glided in. The other boat planes landed with barely a splash. I now followed a plane as it coasted across the river to a huge building jutting from the shore. This was clearly a boat plane hangar from before the blinding.
Good work, David. We made it.
I only hope nobody saw us land.
New Yorkers look inward, not out. And they won't have heard us either. Those cars make far too much of a din for that.
The hangar had secretly been opened by Manhattan's freedom fighters that operated covertly within the city. Men and women in civilian clothes helped our squad disembark.
Great flying, David. Now to get you to a safe house.
Well, can't I stay with the plane?
We can't take the risk. The police might decide to search the waterfront. You'll be taken to a place where you can sit tight until we're ready to fly home.
Okay.
Everyone's carrying a backpack. Can you manage one?
Sure. What's in it?
Don't ask. Whatever you do, don't drop it. There. Got it?
Seeing as we'd brought explosives with us, I could guess what was in that heavy bag. The Marines carried weapons as well as backpacks identical to mine. Sam, aren't we going to be conspicuous strolling through Manhattan armed with machine guns?
Don't worry. We're north of the 102nd Street parallel. This part of Manhattan's a lot different to the ritzy part you visited.
When I first arrived in New York, I'd heard mention of the 102nd Street parallel, but hadn't understood its significance. However, the tone of Sam's voice suggested that this neighborhood would be far from pleasant.
What's more, we're using a rather special route.
Anything wrong?
Our guide. She's here at last.
Kiris! A figure emerged from the shadows. The moment I rushed to embrace Kiris, I saw her clearly. My blood went cold with horror. Kiris, my God! What have they done to your face?
David.
Sam, did Fielding do this to her? Kiris's face had been destroyed. Vivid red scars painted slashing lines from her forehead to her mouth. When I tried to hug her, she fiercely pushed me away.
It's okay, Kiris.
Shh. It's me.
Get off me.
Kiris.
David.
Let me go.
David,
Kiris.
That isn't Kiris. It'll be your sister. Maybe even a twin sister.
Grief. If you knew, why didn't you warn me?
Looks like a dirty trick. It's not. I had no idea.
Hey, guys. What's the holdup?
Gabe, have you ever seen?
That lady is our guide. Now shape up, bud. Get used to her face, okay?
I'm sorry, ma'am. Don't think I caught your name.
Marnie.
Well, Marnie, please lead the way.
First, tell the English guy to stop gawping at me like I'm a lab experiment gone wrong. I'm no Frankenstein, okay? Yes, scars. But I've got feelings, too.
Ma'am, we beg your pardon.
My apologies. You do look like a friend of mine.
Look like? Yeah, I bet. All right, follow me. Stick close. Keep your wits about you.
We followed a railway tunnel beneath the city. I'm entering a nightmare world. I see the mutilated twin of the woman I've fallen in love with. On my back, 80 pounds of dynamite. Darkness is becoming darker. How long before the 10 million ghosts that must haunt Manhattan come swirling in to engulf us?
Welcome to hell.
What is this place?
They used to ship coal into the city through this tunnel. No trains run these days, so we...
Shh! Whenever we slowed down, that woman with the scarred face gave us a powerful shove.
Keep walking.
Marnie, please don't push so hard. If only you knew what I got in this backpack.
We left that underground hell for a different kind of hell entirely. We emerged from the tunnel into a derelict warehouse. From there, we stepped into a filthy street covered with horse dung and broken bottles. The expression on Gabriel's face made me shiver.
We're north of the 102nd Street parallel. Now, this is a separate sector. But what you have here is a labor camp. Midnight and the people are still hard at it. General Fielding keeps his workforce busy around the clock.
It's a shanty town. My God. Oh, that smell.
Keep to the shadows. If our patrol sees you, you're dead.
We kept out of sight. The street was full of people, sighted and unsighted. They were pushing hand carts or carrying bundles. They were exhausted. This was squalid, wretched.
In here, quick!
Marnie ushered our squad into a tenement building. Quickly, she located rooms with a curt.
Don't move from there. You eat later.
Oh, my. The stench. Here in the room stood a conglomeration of copper tubing and cylinders. My roommate was a liquor still. I carefully put my backpack down as Marnie entered. She placed an empty bottle beneath a spout. Drip, drip, it began to fill. Earlier, sorry. I mistook you for someone else. You look exactly like Keris Baedeker.
I don't know her.
Your own sister?
I have hundreds of brothers and sisters.
And this is a labor camp?
Labor camp, prison, it's both.
My name's David Mason. Do you know why we're here?
I'm your guide. That's all I'm told. No, not that bed. You're sitting on my sister.
I'd sat on what I took to be a mound of blankets. I never realized that there was actually someone under them. A thin face appeared. It was, dare I put it, white as death. Marnie helped the young woman sit up in bed. Dear Lord, two near-perfect copies of Keris Baedeker stared at me.
Mister, take this bed.
David, please.
This is my sister, Rowena.
Hello, Rowena.
Sorry. I can't get out of bed. Seems rather impolite of me. I've not been well. Rowena, drink this.
Marnie helped her drink some of the fire water from the liquor still.
Oh, that helps. David, you look at us so strangely.
He knows one of our sisters. Lives in the south. The good place. Isn't she the lucky one?
General Fielding is your father.
Oh, yes. He has lots of children.
And you all look so much alike.
What of it?
Ronnie, David is nice. Please be polite.
I'm worried about you, Rowena. You're not getting any better.
Will you ask Dr. Cowling if I can have an extra booster shot?
I'll ask, but she'll say no. I won't be long.
I apologize for her speaking to you so abruptly.
What happened to her face?
Marnie despised General Fielding's policies and organized public protests. He condemned her to the labor camp. First, though, he told his guardsmen to give her the ugly treatment.
Her own father had her disfigured. Monstrous.
Much is monstrous in Fielding's domain. Especially here.
And you?
I'd gone to a good school, but I went down with a fever when I was 12 and never recovered properly. They said I was no longer viable. So here I came.
But you do have medicine. Marnie's going to fetch the booster shot.
Everyone has them. Booster shots contain heroin. An addicted worker is a loyal worker. Because if we don't work, we don't get shots. And cold turkey is torture.
My God. Fielding's treating you no better than slaves.
No booster shot, Rowena.
She says you can't have one because you missed work today.
Oh.
Well, something must be done. I'll smuggle medicines in myself.
Rowena needs to sleep now, David. We both have work tomorrow.
The next morning, I awoke to find that my bag of dynamite had gone from the room, and Sam and Gabriel and the Marines had vanished from theirs.
Marnie and Rowena drank a cup of hooch from the liquor still. Rowena was so weak that her sister had to help her stand.
Where did they go?
How should we know?
Sam Dimes had to leave earlier than planned. He asked that for now you remain here.
But why didn't they take me? Doesn't Sam trust me?
Hell, I don't trust you.
You've stopped trusting everyone, haven't you?
That's because of how people react when they see my face. How can I... Oh, no. Police!
I risked a glance down the staircase. The blind were milling in confusion as the police forced their way through. They'd reached this floor in the next 20 seconds.
David, they'll know you're not one of us. You must go.
How do I get out of here?
Marnie, take him to the fire escape. Go with him.
Things will change. We mustn't live like this.
You're a good man, but please go.
People in rags filled the streets. Children carrying bundles of firewood that were so heavy their faces were lined with pain. Marnie shoved me.
Hurry. The police may see you.
A block later, Marnie froze in surprise. Soldiers were stopping civilian women and forcing them onto buses.
Come on, come on. Move in line, come on.
Not a usual occurrence, I take it.
I've never seen mass arrests like this before.
You know, I have an awful feeling.
What?
Fielding's plan needs women of childbearing age. They will be implanted with eggs taken from Christina. He's going to start breeding his master race.
The redhead! Yes, you, Scarface! Oh. Get on the bus!
Let go!
Want to get rough, mister? How about this? Yeah. Marnie, come on!
We're on fire.
Keep moving! We need to get to the south of the island. There's someone I need to find.
There's something about that river that gives me the creeps. Marnie. Can we take a road into the southern part of the island?
No. A wall divides Free New York from the slave camp. The gates are always guarded.
A dividing barrier. Like the old Iron Curtain.
Warehouses span the wall. Slave workers fill the warehouses with goods at night. Free workers on the other side empty them by day. For all they know, leprechauns magically fill the warehouses with luxury goods.
Well, don't New Yorkers know about the slave camp?
Most don't. Those that do don't care.
Okay. The question is, how do we get over the dividing wall into the free part of the city?
Get over? You can see how high it is. Check out the watchtowers. The moment we got close to the wall, we'd be arrested or shot.
But if we can't get over, we go round.
You mean in there? It's deep, very deep.
But look, the wall runs out into the river by about 20 feet or so. All we have to do is swim round.
The guards will shoot on sight.
There's masses of green stuff floating downstream. Clumps of weed, branches from trees. We'll camouflage ourselves with plants and let ourselves drift along until we're safely past.
You know what they call this part of the Harlem River? The Hell Gate. There are whirlpools, riptides.
It'll be a good place to reach the other side of the wall.
It's a good place to die.
I must head south. It's important. It will make a difference to the whole of New York. To Rowena.
All right. But as well as disguising ourselves as lumps of weed, we need to find big pieces of driftwood to keep us afloat. If not, we'll drown for sure.
I'm sure the Hellgate didn't get that name just for fun. So yes, driftwood it is. Gripping pieces of driftwood that should help keep us buoyant, and armfuls of weed, we walked into that ice-cold water.